Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Kiddushin Daf Chav Ches. We got up to the seventh line off the top of the Amid. Ad Hichon Gilgul Shavua. So we learned yesterday about Gilgul Shavua, rolling over, including extending the Shavua from just being a single obligation to swear in response to a substantiated claim. You take that Shavua and extend and expand it to include other things which aren't, you know, typically items which you which you swear upon. For instance, karka, land. For instance, etanas shema, an unsubstantiated claim, a shaky claim, which typically would not trigger a Shavua. But once you're swearing anyways, so you can include other things as well, even a tanas shema, a shaky, unsubstantiated claim. Ateichan Gilgul Shavua, asks the Gemara, up to what point, to what extent, how far do you go? Says Rashi, Ateichan Koicha, how far is the power of a Gilgul Shavua, the Galgul Dover Shein Nishboin, all of to include something which isn't typically subject to Shavua? So that's the question. Answers the Gemara, Amar Vida Marav, the Amar Lai, he can take it so far, he could even include something ridiculous as telling him, the Amar Lai, Shavali Shein Avdiyata, you know, while you're already swearing, I want you to include a clause stating that you're not my Eved, my Eved Kanani. I think perhaps you're my Eved. I want you to swear to deny it. Asks the Gemara, well, that's going overboard. You have no right to accuse, to suggest that somebody is your Eved Kanani. Hahu shamutim shamtinele. You know, you do that. You go into Cherem by suggesting that a respected member of the community is really not really a Jew. He's an Eved Kanani. The son you have a Brisa. Karel chaveri Eved. If one calls his friend, you're my Eved. Or just says he's an Eved. Okay? Not just my Eved. Eved. Yehibu nidoi. This person belongs in Cherem in Nidui. Rashi says, you're being mezalzel, you're degrading the respect of the Yisrael, shemezalzel be Yisrael, kol kach, avheim yezalzel leboy, likewise, it deserves to be put in Cherem and to be degraded. If he calls him mamzer, that's also pretty bad. Soifeg es arboim, we give him malchus. Rashi says it's a malchus de rabbanon, which is actually not as bad as Nidui. So that's, second best. Russia. He calls his friend a Russia? Not a free world. So that fellow can now turn around and compete with your business. Can destroy his business. Call him a Russia? Can undo his parnasa. So bottom line is, you have no business suggesting that your opponent is your Eved. You have no right to do that. Elama Rava says, Rava, you're looking for the outermost parameters of the Gilgul Shavua concept? Well, okay. He shavali shalaylim kartali be'evet ivri. That he can do. Swear to me that you were never sold to me as an Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri is not an Eved Kanani. You're still a Jewish fellow, but you're my servant. Says the Gemara, well, what's wrong with that? Hai tanosam al yosahi. You don't need Gilgul Shavua for that. You know, Gilgul Shavua was for the purpose of including something which isn't typically sworn about, like karka, right here, he says, look, I claim that you're my Eved, and make a Shavua. What's wrong with that? Rashi says it's a claim which would generate a Chiyuv Shavua because it's a Tana on Metatalin. But what do I want from him? What am I asking for? Work. Either work or, pay out the balance of the, years remaining, right? So it's a monetary claim. It's metatlan. It's not on karka. It's a bona fide taina. He has a monetary claim with him. You have money that you owe me. So why can't you just make a standalone, independent shvua on this alone? You don't need this included in something else and piggyback onto a different shvua? Answers the Gemara, no, not so simple. You're suggesting that it's a monetary claim which justifies a shvua, not so according to Rava. the author of this statement. Rabbi Latameda, my Rabbi follows his shita because he says like this, Eved Ivri Gufa Ikonik. You know, we had this the other day. The master of the Eved Ivri just wants to forgive the extra money. He can't do that because it's more than monetary. It's more than monetary ownership. True, he's bound to you, he must serve you, but it's a personal commitment as well. There is a personal ownership, an aspect, doesn't go as far as Eved Kanani, who is totally the possession of the owner. There is an aspect, an element of personal control and ownership, even by the Eved Ivri. You see, you can compel him to pair up with the Shifcha Kananis, right? So there is an element of guf as well, Eved Ivri guf ekonoi, in which case it changes the nature of the claim. It's no longer just a monetary claim. It's not just metatlin. It's more than that. He sort of has a partial ownership of the Eved, and then it's, in that respect, it's equated to the Eved Kanani, which is like karka. Says the Gemara, well, if that's the case, then it's Yachi Hainu Karka, then it's exactly like the Karka, which we already spoke about in the Mishnah. You can include that in Gilgul Shavuah. It's just a different form of a Karka claim, because an Eved is compared to Karka, right? We had that Pasuk the other day. So why mention it separately? You're looking for the parameters, the extent of Gilgul Shavuah, and you're giving me a case which is just a duplication of the case in the Mishnah. Well, Maldutema, perhaps I would say it's different. There's a Chiddush here, which I wouldn't know from the Mishnah. Karka hu davidi inshi. When it comes to selling land, people sell sometimes quietly. The mazbin betzina. So just because nobody knows about it, the misa the zavin, even if he bought it from him, the seller sold it to him less le kala. It doesn't necessarily mean that his claim is false. Less le kala, perhaps it's not publicly known. So yeah, it's fair to include it in the shvuah. I want you to deny that you sold me the karka. Hai im isa, the zavin, but when it comes to an eved, if you would have sold him as the eved, everybody knows, well, this fellow is an eved. Kol islay, it's public matter. Kamash malan, so who says I'm able to go ahead and make that claim, that unreasonable claim, which chances are, is patently false, since it's an unknown. It's unknown, nobody knows about it, so it's a right that it's sheker, kamash mon dechilish says, no, you never know. Maybe in fact, there is some merit to his claim, and he's allowed to include it in his shvuah as per Gilgul Shavuah. Continues the Mishnah. Kol anase domim ba'achir. So Rashi explains like this. In the Hava Amin, at this point, we're figuring that the Mishnah is speaking about payment, money. Nasa damim ba'achar. It's something, it's an item, i.e. money, which is typically used as payment, as damim ba'achar, to purchase an item. So basically, it's another way of saying money. Nasa damim ba'achar. So let's say you're in the market for a car, you hand payment to the seller, kiven shezocha zeh, once the seller receives payment, and Rashi explains, not even full payment. One coin out of, the full payment. That is sufficient to trigger the kinyan. Which kinyan? Not kinyan kesef. We're talking about kinyan chalipin. Swapping kinyan. Once he receives even a bit of that money, kiven shezocha zen is chayiv zeh b'chalipov. At that point, the kinyan, the buyer, the customer, is nischayiv, which basically means he's responsible for anything that happens, b'chalipov, with the item that was swapped. So the car is now in the buyer's possession, irrespective of the exact location of that car. It doesn't matter. He doesn't need to physically take hold of the car to make it his. Once he gives him a down payment using the chalipin method of kinyan, so even a partial payment works as a swap. Look, this is yours in exchange for the car. Ketat, let's have an example. Hichlef shaybra parai. So you switch an ox for a cow. Oy chamar b'shor, or a donkey for an ox. Kibesh azach hazeh. Once the fellow who owned the cow takes hold of the shor, does meshich on the shor, that triggers the exchange process. Kibesh azach hazeh neschayv zeh b'chalipa. The other fellow is now zoicha in the exchanged item. Basically, you get the cow, the ox. Now he gets the cow, and he is responsible for any thing that happens to that item. It's really technically now his. Asks the Gemara, How can you do chalipin with a matbea, with a coin? Chalipin? My new, what are we exchanging here? What's the Mishnah speaking about? Matbea? In the beginning of the Mishnah, right? As we explained, it was a coin. Matbea? Shmamino, matbea, nasa chalipin. Is that true that you can use a matbea for chalipin? Which is not so simple. We actually have a Gemara in Perek HaZohav and Bava Metzia that you cannot use matbea for chalipin. Ein matbea nasa chalipin, says Rashi. Omar, you're right. We're speaking about exchanging items using the chalipin mode. Right? This is learned from Pasuk in Megillas Rus, where he removed his shoe, shalaf ish na'aloi v'nasan l'ri'eyu. By doing that shoe exchange, he got the field. So chalipin, swap, exchange, generates kinyan. And that's what happened here as well. He wasn't using money. He was using items. Hachi kamar, kal nishan, damim ba'acha. Any item which is typically appraised and valued, right? Its value is estimated prior to being used in a swap arrangement, right? You have to know its value before you are willing to swap it. Kolonishin domen ba'achar. So basically, it's another way of saying mitaltalin, belongings, as opposed to coins, which are clearly valued. You don't need to do shuma for that. So actually, we're not talking about coins, just the opposite. Items. So if it's used as a chalipin, it works. Kibbe shazachazeh, once the seller takes into his possession the item, which he's receiving in lieu of payment, right? Nischayev b'chalipin. So now the buyer, the customer, has assumed ownership and as well as responsibility for the item, swapped in exchange for that item. Dekanami. In fact, will prove that this interpretation in the Mishnah is accurate, that rather than speaking about coins, we're speaking about items, because the Mishnah gives us examples of such. Ketzad, right? Hechlef shar repara, mechamar b'shar, shma mino. Clearly, we're speaking about items and not money. Now, ulumay the salak adaitin mi'ikara. You know, the way we initially figured, the matbeya nasa chalipin. And in fact, the Mishnah is alluding to coins being used in this swap arrangement. My ketzad. So why does the Mishnah proceed and describe non-monetary goods? Achik amar. The Mishnah was alluding to both options. Money is one option, and you know, you can use other items as well. Even though it's not a kli, even though the Pasuk in Rus speaks about a shoe, which is a kli, the Mishnah here is expanding our horizons. Ketzad, achik amar, peiros nami avdi chalipin. Even peiros, Rashi says, peiros is just a term alluding to anything that's not a kli. It can be an animal, it can be food, it can be peiros nami avdi chalipin. That also can be used in the chalipin arrangement. Ketzad, and the Mishnah goes on to give us some examples. Hichlev basar shar repar, he took a basar of a shar and he swished it for lepar, or basar chamar, or the basar of a chamar and he swished it with a bishar. So the arrangement works. Kimish zachazeh, once you take into your possession the first item, nischai b'chalipin, the other fellow is zaycha in the exchange. So according to this approach, we're not discussing money in the chalipin arrangement, rather we're speaking about items that are swapped. Hanichal Rav Sheshes, that's good and well, according to Rav Sheshes, to Amar Peres Avdei Chalipin, he holds that you can use Peres for Chalipin. Hel Rav Nachman, who limits it to Kalim, to Amar Peres Avdei Chalipin, he can't use anything other than a Kli for Chalipin. Michael Amar, then we're stuck, back again stuck. What does the Mishnah mean? Says the Gemara, Hachika Amar. Let's explain the Mishnah as follows. We're not speaking about Chalipin. According to Rashi's pshat, we're speaking about a form of kinyan kesef. But it sort of models. It appears very similar to chalipin. It follows a similar process. But technically, it's really a kinyan kesef. Hachik Amar, Mishnah here is introducing a new angle to kinyan kesef. Yesh damim shein kechalipin. At times, we can apply money in a transaction and use it as though you're doing a swap. How's that? Ketzad. Hichlif d'mei shar b'para. So we have Reuven who sold his shar to Shimon, who now owes him $100. Shimon happens to own a para, which Reuven would like to buy. Reuven tells Shimon, look, instead of paying me the 100 for the shar, we have some, you know, you have the credit, right? You owe me the money. apply that as the purchase money for the para, which I'd like to take from you. And that works, even though he didn't actually forward him any payment for the para, but Shimon owed him the money for the shur. And now that's being applied as purchase, as the payment for the para. So now Reuben owns the para. At that moment, the para reverts from Shimon to Reuben's ownership. Or similarly, in the case of the chamar and the shur, or dmei chamar b'shur. And bottom line is, although typically, when we buy and sell metatalin, we need to do meshicha. Payment is not, doesn't really close the deal, midrabanan. We need to actually take physical possession. But here it's different. As soon as the credit is applied, the money owing for the shur is applied to the para. The para now reverts to Reuben's ownership and he owns it, even though he never actually took it. He didn't do meshicha. This sort of ma'is payment works and completes the deal. My time and why. So first of all, Saval Rabbi Yechon. We're going with Shitas Rabbi Yechon. And the Amar Devar Teiri should know that Minat Teira, ma'is koines. Paying for an item generates kinyan. You don't need to take it into your possession. Umatam Amar Meshicha koines. So why did the Chacham add a Meshicha element to the process? For concern that the customer might lose his assets. It won't be protected properly. You see, if the seller, in this case it's chitim, right, accepts payment for the chitim, which are still sitting in the seller's, you know, storage room, in his silo, he accepts payment, and we say, well, now everything reverts to Shimon. Shimon is the owner, and suddenly a fire breaks out. Reuben won't necessarily extend himself and sacrifice his safety to go save Shimon's wheat. But that's because we say kesef is koinah, so now it's totally Shimon's. Therefore, the Chacham say, look, it's not done. Deal's not over until he does Mashiach. Until then, you know, if the price goes up, Reuben can up the price. So now Reuben has an interest in saving those items, and he'll extend himself. He'll make an extra effort to protect the wheat. That's why the Chachamim obligated. They required Meshicha as well as Kesef. Until it's actually taken into Shimon's possession, it isn't fully his. Lest we run into a situation where it's still sitting by Reuven and it won't be protected. So that's a general concept applied to general transactions, which are typical, which are common. But Musa, the Shchiach, Gazvur Rabban, we know that Chacham only applied their takanis when it's something which is common, right? So your typical sale, your typical transaction, you need to do Mashiach. But in our situation where he's applying, you know, applying theoretical money, right? It's not really money in hand, right? It's money you owe me that for the other thing, and now I'm applying. So that's not a common occurrence. Most of the Shchiach, Loi, Gazu, Barabonon, and we discount the Mashiach requirement, and Kesef on its own affects the deal, and therefore we say, if I apply payment for the para now is mine, even though I didn't do Mashicha, and we're done. And that's the case in the Mishnah. So I'm sort of using money in a flip-flop, swapping context, and we say that the deal is done, even though I didn't do Mashicha, because it's not a common type of transaction, and Kesef, this form of Kesef, clinches the deal. Asks the Gemara, one second, we're not done. Ulu Rish Lakish D'Amar Mashicha M'Fresh Z'Mat Torah. But according to Rish Lakish's approach, that Mashiach is required Minat Torah to complete a deal. So this pshat in the Mishnah won't work according to him. You always need Mashiach, whether it's a common occurrence or uncommon occurrence. It's a prerequisite Minat Torah. So now, how is he going to learn the Mishnah? So remember, we had two pshatim in the Mishnah. This was the second pshat, which came after the first pshat, that the Mishnah discussed Kinin Chalipin through Peres, right? So Rish Lakish can't work with the second pshat. It's inconsistent with his shita. So honichi sava lo krav sheshes. So if he holds like krav sheshes, the Amar Peres Avdi Chalipin, he could do Chalipin with Peres. Okay, great. Mataritz krav sheshes. He'll learn the Mishnah like krav sheshes' approach. That was speaking about kini Chalipin with Peres. Elo yisava lo krav nach. But if he holds like the other shita, the Amar Peres Avdi Chalipin, he could do Chalipin with Peres. So the Mishnah which discusses Peres cannot be speaking about Chalipin. Umatbe elo yikani, and he holds that you can not be kinyan just by paying. So the second pshat won't work. But my Mukilah, so how is he going to learn the Mishnah? How does he explain the Mishnah? This doesn't work and that doesn't work. Well, really, so it must be that Rosh Lakish follows Rosh Lakish's approach to Chalipin. Paris can make Chalipin, and that's what the Mishnah is speaking about. So bottom line is, we have Pshat 1 in the Mishnah, teaching us that even non-Kalim can be used for the swapping Kinyan, called Kinyan Chalipin, which basically means as soon as I get one item, the item that I'm giving you in exchange for that item is now yours, despite the fact that it's sitting in my backyard. And the second Pshat in the Mishnah was that he's applying credit towards the sale, and Kinyan Kesef in this case clinches the deal. Continues the Mishnah, Rushus HaGavoya BeKesef. How does Gavoya, Hegdish, Beis HaMikdash property, how does that become theirs? How do they acquire items? BeKesef, through payment. Rushus HaHedid BeChazoka, but for the common person, he needs to do a chazaka. Rashi says it means mashicha. We're speaking about belongings, metatlan. So mashicha is required, as we explained before, takanas chachamim, but in the hegdish realm, all they need to do is issue payment and it's theirs. One more difference between hedid and hegdish. Amirasa legavoya, just simply verbally committing to give, to be magdish, that obligates you, that makes you chayiv to donate. Kimisirasa lehedit, as though when you're dealing with a hedit, you actually gave it to him. So verbals, when it comes to hegdish, is as powerful as actions in the hediot world. Tan Rabban, Ketzad Rishus HaGavoy BeKesef. So hegdish can do kinyana with kesef. How does that pan out? Gizbar, he's the administrator. Shanasan Mois BeBehemah. So he paid for the animal. I feel by him even the animal sitting in China, Kana, Hegdish is now Kana. But when it comes to, you know, two commoners buying from each other, like Kana Chiyimshech, there you need Mashicha to make the Kinyan, as we learned back on the Chavava Meralef, Nechosim, which are Metatalin, require Mashicha. Next difference, Keitzad Amirosil Gavoya Kimisrosil Hedyet. Verbals are committal when it comes to Gavaya. Ha'imer, he says, Shar ze oila. Look, this animal of mine should be an oila, or bias ze should be hegdish. Ah, filu b'sofa oilam, even if it's on the other side of the globe, kana, the hegdish is now kana. It's a done deal. Behedi le kana, acha yimshech, v'yachsik. As opposed to ordinary people, which require meshicha, by a metaltal, by an animal, for instance, v'yachsik, Rashi says, that's by a house, by karka, you need chazok. So how does this work out? We're going to have four cases involving one who is being paida. He's redeeming some item from Hegdish, basically buying from Hegdish. Hegdish would auction off their items, which they don't need for the Beis HaMikdash. And we're going to see how this pans out in light of the previous halacha regarding kinyan of kesef by Hegdish versus kinyan mishicha by the Hedyut. We're going to have four variations. Okay, first case is like this. Moshchei b'mana. A fellow walked over to the Gizbar, okay, car's for sale, great. He did a Mashicha when it was worth only a mana, 100 zuz. Well, he is pickled daisy, but by the time he got around to issuing payment, to doing the Kesef, he did Mashicha, but Kesef hadn't yet come. Acha Amad bin Masai, by the time he got around to paying, he went up to 200. How much does he owe? So we learned that Hegdish is kind of with Kesef. Until that happens, it's not a done deal. By a Hedyut, if you do Mashicha, you got a good deal. But here, you have to wait until you pay, because Hegdish is kind of with Kesef. So now, you have to pay the higher price. Right? So, Moshachai b'mana v'leispik l'vdaisi ashi amri b'masayim. How much does he have to pay? 200. Nice and masayim. My time. Oh, this is the pasuk that we were looking for all along. Which tells us that the Hegdish is kind of with Kesef. V'nasana Kesef become like. It's yours when you pay. Case number two. Moshachai b'masayim. You did Mashiach on the animal when it was worth 200. Well, he speaks of Toisai. Actually, Amad b'mana, by the time he paid for it, it went down to 100. How much does he pay? You would think, well, 100, right? Noisen Masayim, he pays 200. You know why? My time. Lo yehei koyach, hediut chomer mehegdish. It's inconceivable that the commoner, the common person in the market should end up gaining more than hegdish. Everyone understands. It doesn't make sense that hegdish should lose out. So Hegdish has an advantage, like we said, that the payment you know, is a determining factor, but they don't lose their, you know, commoner factor as well. That the fact that that Meshicha is a proper kinyan by the Hedyot, it can help Hegdish as well. In this case, if he did Meshicha when it was up to 200, he must pay that amount. Okay, so we have two cases where he did Meshicha without paying, and in both cases, Hegdish is ahead. Now we have another two cases where he paid before doing Meshicha, the other way around. Padeh b'masayim. So he walked over to the Gizbar, gave him 200. By the time he took possession, it went down to 100. How much does he pay? 200. As per his kasef, right? My timer, but also not kasef, become loy. It's all about kasef when it comes to Hegdish. He's committed to that price. What if Padai Bemana? He handed the 100. By the time he did Meshicha and physically took the item into his possession, it went up to 200. Asham le b'masayim. So, in this case, you would think that he must pay 200 because, as we said, you know, the Hegdish shouldn't go less than your common person, right? Well, no. Masha pada pada. He got a good deal. He sticks at 100. Ve'ein noisin elamana. That's all he has to pay is the 100. Amai. And the Gemara asks his kasha, amai. Why? Hachin nami name. In this case as well, we should apply the aforementioned principle. Well, yei kayach hedyot. Chamam hegdish. How can a hedyot be better than a hegdish? Where Meshicha triggers the transaction. So, if at the time of Meshicha it's worth more, you should pay more. No, says the Gemara, this is very different. You know why? You know, there's something called Mishapara. So, although, when it comes to an hedyot, an ordinary person in the marketplace, you pay him the money. It's not a done deal until he does Meshicha, but he's not meant to. The seller is not meant to up the price. He's not meant to go back on the deal. It's actually quite consequential. The buyer, who now lost out, got the raw end of the deal, can apply sort of a curse. Misha para, Hashem who punished the people at the time of the mabul, etc. He should get back at you also. You're being dishonest by just reneging on your verbal commitment, the fact you took payment and you're going back on a deal. So it's not something advisable. It's not something proper. And likewise by Hegdish, says the Gemara, it's improper for Hegdish to act improperly. So for this type of scenario, it wouldn't be proper to go back on the deal. If you were a Hedyot, the same thing applies to Hegdish. Hegdish also has to conform to, you know, acceptable standards, moral standards. Says the Gemara, "Atu hedyot lav b'misha parakoi." Don't you realize that by hedyot, if money was already transferred, even before Meshicha, the owner shouldn't be going back on this, lest he invite a misha para declaration. Likewise, Hegdish should conform to those accepted norms and stick to the deal. And let him take it at the lower price. Okay, so we had four cases, two and two. The first two cases, he did Meshicha before paying. So if it went up, higher price. If it went down, higher price. In the case of Kesef without Meshicha, so he paid 200, then it went down, stick to 200. He paid 100. And then it went up. In this case, we say he got a good deal. He sticks at 100. Okay, let's recap today's daf. We spoke about including other items into your shvua, Gilgal shvua, up to the point of a claim that he, perhaps this is Eved Ivri. That's also included in the, can be included in your shvua. And the chiddush is, we don't assume that if it were true, it would be known. You never know. And therefore, he has the ability to demand a shvua to deny that claim. We proceeded to the next Mishnah, and we had two pshatim on the Mishnah. Either it's a discussion about Kinyan Chalipin, or about an unusual Kinyan Kesef, which concludes the deal without a need for Meshicha. We discussed two distinctions, two chilukim, between Gavaya and Hedyot. One is that Gavaya is kind of with Kesef, Hedyot needs Meshicha. Amira is committal regarding Avoya, whereas Mesira, and not Amira, is what binds you when it comes to personal transactions. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.